Okay. So this is based, one of the people said I should introduce, this is based on Yeridaya, Hilchos Helch Shekelim, Halacha Daled, Rav Nosson speaks about Shavuos. And to understand this, it's a complex explanation over here, so let me try this first, simplify. You know, one of the most amazing things about Shavuos is there is no special mitzvah on Shavuos. Well, it means like this: Pesach, we have to make a Seder Pesach. We have to eat matzahs, and we have to get rid of the chametz. So Pesach has its great mitzvahs. Sukkahs, you all know, there's a mitzvah to be in the sukkah. We have a lulav, an esrik, an adasim, an arovis. Sukkah has mitzvahs. Shavuos has no mitzvahs. I know some Ashkenazim eat cheesecakes or whatever, but that's just the tradition. We don't even know where the tradition started. You know, but all the wives are busy making milchig dishes. But in truth, in the Torah, there's nothing, doesn't mention anything. Which is even more amazing. There is no date for Shavuos. Shavuos is not a special day in the calendar. Pesach, we know, has to be in the full moon. It's Tesvav Nisan. Sukkot is also the full moon. Tesvav Tisha. And we know that Rosh Hashanah is the first day, and Yom Kippur is the 10th day of Tisha. Shavuos really doesn't have a day in the calendar. The Gemara says Shavuos could be the 6th or 7th, could be the 5th, and could be the 7th. That depends if you make the months both chaser, if you know how the calendar, Jewish calendar works. If both days, if Nisan, if Iyar and Sivan, the Gemara has a whole length to show you that Shavuos is not a day. Shavuos is the 50th day of the Omer. That's what it is. And that's an amazing thing. It's amazing to have the greatest day that we have the Torah. It doesn't say, and it doesn't even mention in the Torah why we celebrate Shavuos. You know what it says in the Torah we celebrate Purim? B'yoyim HaBikurim. It's the Chag HaBikurim, it's called, when we bring the new fruit. Nothing mentioned whatsoever, and mentioned the Torah about Matan Torah. It's very, very interesting. And to explain this in a simple way, what I'm saying is generally all the Chassidus want to explain this. I want to get into what Rav Nachman and Nosson says over here, a very deep thought. Generally speaking, you know, the Torah is above time and above space. When Klal Yisrael kept the Torah, really, there was Lamashal. To explain this, to show you how this works, you know, the higher the Kedusha is, the less space is taken up. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, no one ever said, Sarli Hamukain Yerushalayim. You know the famous Mishnah? No one said when they came to Eder Egel, they came for the Chagim, that Yerushalayim, there is no room. Everyone found the room. Yet a higher level of a miracle was, and Yom Kippur, everyone came into the Har HaBayis. And the miracle of Har HaBayis was that we're standing like sardines on Yom Kippur, waiting to see what the Kohen Gadol. All of a sudden, when you bow down, you know, when the Nachmi, Koyrim, Shnachman, and the Shuls, you bow down, they bow down between every person, and the person in the front of it became Dalad Amos. Dalad Amos is either 8 feet or 6 feet. They were standing sardines. Now they bow down. The reason the miracle happened, because everyone has to say Vidi. No one wants to, other person should hear what I'm confessing. You know what I mean? So there's a nest that became Dalad Amos. And even more than that, the nest was, the Gemara says, in the Kodesh Kedoshim, where the Oren was, they didn't take any space. That means if you measured the room from wall to wall, it was 10 Amos. But if the Oren, you measure from here, it's 5 Amos, here's an Amos. How could it be from here? Wall to wall, it's 10 Amos. From the end of the Oren, the arc is 5 Amos. 5 Amos, the Gemara says the Oren did not take up any space. Even more, the Medrash says, which is incredible, that the Moshe Beni gathered a few times. You know, the Oren was as big as this table. Not much bigger. The whole Oren. He gathered the entire Klal Yisrael, 600,000 men, between the poles, these two poles. The Oren had two poles, sticking it, going this way, and he gathered everyone. This is like a miracle which is beyond comprehension. You know, there are miracles which we understand, and there are miracles beyond our comprehension. For instance, I explained this once before. When the river became blood, Makas Dam, I don't know how it became blood, but now I know what I'm seeing. I'm seeing blood. And if frogs appeared, a billion frogs, I know what I'm seeing. I don't know how a billion frogs appeared. But if I have, how can you have 600,000 people? I look there, 600,000 people, and I look up. Wait a minute, this is only 5 hours. What am I seeing over here? This is not just a miracle. This is a miracle beyond explanation. I mean, imagine 600,000 people fit in the width of this table. And they were all standing there, not sardines. And they were schmoozing probably, you know, there always people like to schmooze in the back, you know, there was 600,000 people there. That's just because the Torah is above space and above time. Which we live, we cannot, scientists do explain this, such a thing as, if you know a little bit about astrophysics, that they claim that the world is expanding and universe and space gets created at the same time. But what we don't understand, how 600,000 people are standing right here. The Torah is above time. Well, that's why it's not a time, it's the 50th day. See, 50th day is called Yovel. Yovel is called a freedom, because when Mashiach will come, it represents a day when finally when Mashiach will come, will be free from all freedom that you can imagine. When the Torah was given, it was called Cheres. You know, the Torah was written Chores al haluchos, inscribed in the luchos. So the Gemara Medrash says Chores means free from the Yetzirah, free from working, free a freedom which we can't not even imagine. You know what I mean? Because this is beyond the way. Mashiach will come, that's what I mean. But at Matan Torah, we got to this unbelievable Olam HaYovel, which is beyond time in Kabbalah, that's called 7x7, because the sphere, the 8th sphere, is above time, above space, which we don't comprehend, because we live under space and time. See, our mind cannot wrap something that is above the time and above space. But that's exactly what the Torah was. The Torah was given. Now, I want to just add another very interesting thing, since I mentioned it. The Torah calls the Chag HaShavuos, Shavuos the Torah calls, B'yoyim HaBikurim, which is the day that you bring Gemara. So the Gemara, there's a very interesting Gemara. Anyone who learns Daf Yomi recently had this. The Gemara says, the Rebbeinu Shlom says you should bring Shtei Alechem HaShavuos. You know what carbon they brought on Shavuos? Two loaves of bread. Two huge loaves of bread was brought in Shavuos. Because why should you bring these two loaves of bread? I will bless all the trees. So everyone asks, what does the tree have to do with bread? So let me tell you what the Balaam and Kibbalim explain, Tzudei Yikoyin, and then the other Chassidish Rumik hint to this. You know that other Marishan, before he sinned, other Marishan was, we can't even imagine who he was, but the Medrash says he didn't have to plant, he didn't have to do anything. There was no work needed to be. No work. That means other Marishan before his sin was, imagine you don't have to plow, you don't have to make your bread. Bread grows, you go out and bread grows. You don't have to plant it. Whatever you needed, you walked out and you got it. There was no responsibility, nothing, and everything that he had was done. So before he ate the eighth hadas, you know, one opinion is The Eitz Hadas is wheat. You know that? There's one opinion, the Gemara. There's many opinions. One of them says it was grapes. One of them says it was wheat. That means that the Sforum explained, before Adam HaRishon got the curse, he ate the bread which grew on the tree. The Hashem cursed them afterwards. Now you're going to have to work very, very, very hard. Bezeyas apechu toichal lechem. The sweat of your brow, you're going to have to eat bread. It's amazing because all the Merishan was created not to work. You know, part of all of us is we wish we wouldn't have to work. But as soon as you hit the jackpot, you're going to go crazy not working. I find people, sometimes they come back on vacation, they're so eager to go back to work. And what's the brand? What's the, you know, I mean, because part of us needs to work, needs to feel accomplished. I'm doing something. That's every person. A part of every person is, I wish I could, you know, I always tell people, everyone wants Mashiach. There's a famous saying from the Tanya, which is really frightening. The Tanya used to say, the Mashiach that you all are waiting is never going to come. Yeah? You're all waiting for Mashiach. That Mashiach is never going to come. Mashiach that's coming, you're not waiting for. He explained it. We want Mashiach to come. We don't want to have any responsibilities. I should sit back in my chair, smoke a pipe, and, you know, just relax. And, you know, no responsibility. That Mashiach is never going to come. Never. Because Mashiach is going to come that we should want to daven. We're going to want to learn. That not many people are eager waiting for. See, there's a part of a person, Udam Rishon was created not to work. So part of us really doesn't want to work. There's another part of a person, after the curse, he would go nuts if he doesn't work. He feels horrible, especially men. I watch men, even though they have the money, even though it doesn't make, if they don't feel productive, they feel terrible. This is the klola that Hashem said for Udam Rishon, Bazeyes HaPecho Toichal Lechem. Now, that was after the chet. Before the sin, it was a different way. So, Reb Nosson over here, in the Kitta Maran, this is a very deep Torah. You know, people ask me, I should try to explain deep Torahs, so I'll try my best, because this goes into... there's a concept called Koyach and Apoil. That means, to explain this, you want to do something, right? You want to accomplish something. So there's the thing that you did, and then before you have to plan what you're doing. If I want to build a room, I have to have a great plan in my mind, exactly what I want to build. I can't start building, I don't know what I'm going to build. I have to think, I need a room so big and so big, I want so much, you know, lighting, how tall the ceiling should be. You don't decide, you have the middle of a building, you know what, let's make it taller, let's make it shorter. Everything before you start building has to be bekoyach. Bekoyach means in your thoughts how to do what you need to do. Once you have everything and planned, now you have to do it. So before you start building, it's called the koyach and the poil are working together. The right hand and the left hand is together. And when you finally do something, you're separating the koyach from the poil. So to explain this, this is a very deep concept, but I'm going to try to make it more easier. Reb Nachman explains a very interesting story that happened. Elisha and Eliyahu Novi were walking, and Eliyahu Novi tells Elisha, I'm going to leave. I'm going to Shemayim. So is there anything you want? So Elisha, being a smart man, he says, I want pishnai merichachu alai. I want the double of your spirit to me. I want to be, you know, whatever Eliyahu Novi's spirit was, I want to have just double that spirit. Pishnai merichachu. So Eliyahu Novi says to him, you asked a very difficult thing, but let me tell you something. If you'll see me be taken away from you, you'll get it. But if you don't see me taken away from you, you're not going to get it. And as they were walking, and they were speaking and learning, all of a sudden, Eliyahu Hanavi came a fiery chariot, you say in English, chariot, and Eliyahu Hanavi went up, and that moment, Elisha got a double ruach. So the Zohar explains, what does that mean? Rav Nachman brings the Zohar. It says, Noyach Eile Toidus Noyach Ish Tzadik. And it says a very, very, very interesting thing. Every person has a Ruach Derasata. We have a spirit and a Neshama. Everyone's Neshama is connected to Shemayim. It is. That's how it is. We are connected to Shemayim. Tzadikim have a Ruach Derasata and a Ruach Dela'ela. What happens is, when their time is to come, the Ruach de la'ela comes down, gets connected to the two Ruchais, and he goes up. But if you're very attached to the Tzaddik, then your time is not to go up. So that great Ruach that was up there stayed with you. It's called the Ruach de la'ela, spirit of above. Come. What does this Ruach represent? What does exactly this Ruach represent? You know, it doesn't mean you're going to win the lottery. You know, most of us are people like, if I have a, maybe it's going to be a big good luck. You know, one of the, let me explain to you, which the Lakita Alocha says here, one of the main reason we're here in this world is we have a free will. This is a very, very powerful thing to know. We are here in this world to exercise our faith. It's one of the most amazing things. Hashem created someone who could violate His will. That's exactly why we were created one. This is such an incredible thing, because everything, nature has its rules of nature and how it works. A tree doesn't work, grows, because that's how the laws of nature, and we study it, we understand it, we understand the chemicals of many things, how it works. We were created with the only ones have a total free will to be good and not to be good. That's how we are. And the trick of our free will is to recognize Hashem and to recognize there's a God and He runs the world. You'll notice that's the hardest thing in Yiddishkeit. I said this one before, it's easier to keep every chumrah and Pesach than to be really feel Hashem all the time with you. That's much, much harder. I've often given this example, a relationship needs two things. Your relationship, you got to do what you need to do. The second part of the relationship a person has to have is be connected emotionally. To be connected to Hashem emotionally, we have to be aware of Him. And the awareness of Hashem is very, very challenging for us. And we could be kosher, we could keep Shabbos. Well, people are medagdic and they keep everything. They will pay a lot of money to keep kashrus, and the wife will go to the mikveh and they do everything. But to have a close relationship and awareness of Hashem, this is the hard. This is one of the great things that the Hashem Tov tried to bring into the world. That was the Hashem Tov and all the Tamid of Hashem Tov and the Tanya and Rav Nachman. Try that we should connect to Hashem. That is the, oh, you know, many people forget. The simple thing about Chassidus came is to be connected to Hashem. I'll say this mashal, I once said it before, just so people should understand it. I always say a mashal. You know, I asked my daughter, my oldest daughter, it's a long time ago, because I have a 16-year-old grandchild from that. But when she started to date, those days there was no email yet. But I changed the story to make it more practical. I always say, oh, she was starting. I said to her, what type of a chassan do you want? There's two types of chassanim. One type of a chassan is that the column emails the chassan a list of 10 things. He is like a yekka. You know, he does everything immediately. All 10 things, he does it, exercises it efficiently, done. But he's very removed. He doesn't, you know, send hearts to her, doesn't flirt with her, doesn't ask her, how was your night, how was your day. Whatever she asks him, immediately he's there. He does exactly one of them. That's one type of a chassan. Another type of a chassan is the Kala emails a list of 10 things, and he says, I don't know, only 8 arrived. I don't know what happened, but by only 8 arrived. Then he says to her, let me tell you something. Six I could take care of. The other two I don't know how to take care of. And the six is like, I do the shopping. It's the wrong item. It's not the wrong what she wanted. It's until it gets done, takes the 2-3 weeks. It doesn't get done so quickly. But he writes poetry to her. And he plays the guitar for her. And he's just full of love. And imagine having a husband all day long plays guitar for his wife and sings poetry to her. So you take the pot and bang him over the head. Go get a job. So what? These you can't have a wife cannot have a husband that way, and a husband who's cold as a fish cannot be a husband. A relationship, you need both. You need someone to be responsible, to have a job, to produce. To take care of the family, then you need a bond. And it has to be both ways, one without the other. Can you imagine having an efficient husband, does everything but is cold as a turkey? You know, it doesn't go. And you have a guy all day long, he does nothing, but he plays. What's your problem? He's saying love songs singing to you. What's your problem? I don't need your love song, I need you to go get a job. So in a relationship, you need both. What we unfortunate humans are, the emotional relationship to Hashem be very much removed. We are very comfortable to do all the mitzvah, check her off, I'm achmer with this, I have a chumrah with this, and I do this. But say, you know, I have a chumrah that I like just to meditate about Hashem. You know, I just like to spend time alone with Hashem. I don't think anyone has a yetzahara for that. You know, I can't come now, I'm busy talking to Hashem. You know, I mean, I have it's so far from us. It's such a far removed thing. This is our biggest challenge. And this comes, the Zohar says, because the Shekhinah left, you know, when the Chor B'Samigdash, the Shekhinah went up, and we have a much harder time. But the truth is that we have to have a connection to Hashem. So, what Nassim explains over here, very interesting. Now, let me explain another thing. This I have to connect all the pieces over here. So let me try to explain another concept over here. You know, sometimes a person is motivated and he'll do anything. Some people are motivated, and it's amazing what they could do. And it's amazing. If someone, I had a nephew, Elizabeth, when he was very young. And the first computer, you know, it wasn't the smartphone came out. I forgot the name of the company, what it was. It wasn't even an iPhone. I forgot the name. I don't think that company exists. The first one gave out a pad, whatever. Right? So he was determined to have one. What was it?
HP.
No, it was a different company, the first one. Whatever. Palm. It was the Palm. But he said, Pilot. So my nephew was 14 years old then, first became five. It was $250 cost to them, imagine. He was determined, I could not believe it. He would call me up, he called all his uncles, if I know 10 blocks by heart this summer, how much money will he give me? And he knew 10 blocks by heart, he got all his uncles, and he got the $250. I was shocked. I didn't trust him. I had someone else to test him. He lives in Muncie. So I had someone else test him. He was like, he was so different. This went into, if a person is determined, you know, unfortunately, you know what boys do to get a girl's attention, you know, I grew up in a from place, we didn't have these things. What I hear from people, what they did when they get a girl's attention, they did, who knows what. You know, just, she should, you know, lay his eyes on him or sort of, you know what I mean, whatever they care. If a person wants something very badly, he can do it. So what holds us back from doing something? We don't want it so badly. So Nachman explains in a very deep Kabbalistic idea is that your hands are what we call in America are tied. You're not doing anything. You know, you hear this expression, his hands is tied. No one's hands is tied. If you really want something to be done, it's going to be done. You know, I always tell people, you know, you can't come to Daf Yomi. I can't, it's too difficult. You say, $500 a night, you think you could come every night? Or when they tell me the wives don't want, so I told the guy, $500 is my wife will kick me out of bed to go make sure to go. $500, an extra $500 a day? A person, if he really wants to do something, he could do it. But we do walk around feeling all the time our hands is tied. So Rav Nachman explains that a person, if he desires something very badly, it will happen. So he explains a very interesting concept. You know, the Sfardim are we about is more than Ashkenazim. You know, there's the Shiluv of the name of Hashem. You know what the name of Hashem? The name of Hashem, if you look in the, when we say a bracha, we say Adna, Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud. That's how we pronounce the name of Hashem. Written is written Yud, Hey, and the Vav. And there's a Hey afterwards. That's written. If you look in the sum of the Sfardish Siddur and they put on the page, the name of Hashem is Shulav. You know what Shulav means? That the start with the Yud, and then the first Yud, and there's an Aleph. And the two names of Hashem is, I don't know how you say it in English, Meshulav means the combined. What that is based on the Zohar. The Zohar says if you have a very quick mind, and your mind is very focused, you should have the picture of the entire Shem in your mind, this together. This starts with a Yud and it ends with a Yud. It's eight letters. So the Zohar says it begins with a Yud. That's the Yud, K, Vav, K, the first letter, if you remember in the Siddur. And the last letter is a Yud. And we say, Bam Davening, Poiseach Es Yudechu. The Zohar says, don't say Yudechu, Poiseach Es Yudechu. You should open the two Yuds. The Yud should be open. Because there's three letters in the planning, and there's three letters in doing the thing. Which is why he says, it's not Yudechu, it's Yud, open the two Yuds. They also open the hands, as we say, my hands is tied. So, Pseich as Yudechu, you should open your hands. You should want to open your hands and be able to do what you need to do. You shouldn't get stuck just like it's a nice idea to do it. You should be able to do it. That's called Pseich as Yudechu. So how does a person accomplish this? Is a person, the more you arouse your desire in yourself, the much more you arouse, you want to do something, then it's going to get done. The more you really want it. See, there's a part of us, it'd be nice. It'd be nice if I could join the daf. It'd be nice that if it's very important, if you continuously say it out, I want to do it, and you really put your mind to, I want to do it, you'll do it. I know someone, I think I said this once here before, who went to medical school. He had no money. He was an immigrant. And this goes many, many years ago. He literally slept in the shul. No one knew about it. But he slept in the shul for 6 months till someone figured out that this guy doesn't go home. He used to say, I'll close the shul. I want to learn of it. And he came early. Had he managed, didn't date anyone. He had barely had then someone, the community helped him. He was so determined to become a doctor because he grew up very, very poor. It was just amazing. I tell people all the time in my shul, you notice shul this morning after a whole night of being awake, everyone in the morning looks like a Rachmanis. They look. You ever watch what happens after shul's night? Everyone looks like they would have been awake three nights. I want to buy shul. A guy comes in and he's saying Kaddish. And he left his seat, his sign on, and I saw that he's a doctor. They asked him, I'm doing my residency in the emergency room. I have to say Kaddish. I lost my father. So I asked him, he came straight from the emergency room. Yeah, straight, 7 o'clock, the safe chain. I came straight from, when was the last time he slept? He tells me, makes a cheshbon, he must have slept about 36 hours ago. He didn't have time yet to sleep. He's gone home to sleep now. So I said to him, you don't look like you didn't sleep. You know, at Shavuos in the morning, when people will go to sleep by day to prepare themselves. And then at Shavuos in the morning, people look like washed up. You don't look like washed up. Do you know why he doesn't look washed up? He's doing his residency and he's waiting the sign, Dr. So-and-so should be, once upon a time, this was a big COVID. I don't know, doctors have the big COVID anymore, but it was a sign. This is a drive. See, if you're driven, you could do it. So Rav Nachman says, to get to be driven, you have to really want something very, very much. That's Pseyach as Yudech. You have to open the two Yuds. One is the Koyach, and one is the Poyel. And if you notice, it always say, in the morning, Davener say, Al Tavieni Loili Dei Chet. Don't you say in the Hirotzen in the Berchas HaShachar, Al Tevieni Loi Lidei Chet, V'Loi Lidei Aveiro, V'Loi Lidei Nesoyon. Why do you use the hands? You ever notice? Always it says the hands. Because the hands represents what you're doing. And if you don't do something, as we call in America, my hands are tied. You have to untie it. And the untying of your hands come when you tell yourself you want something very, very, very much. So Rav Nosson explains, counting the sphere was like a chosson, is counting his days when he's finding Olamita's color. You know, he's like, he just can't wait, and he's longing for that love that he's finally going to be able to get married. The more a person longs for something, the more it's going to happen. The Zohar says, "Pesach es yudecho." When the name of Hashem is Meshulav, so there's a yud in the beginning and a yud at the end. So the two yuds, you should open the two yuds, because that means there's eight letters really. There's six in the middle. Three letters go on the koyach, and three letters go on the poyel. Koyach means you plan what you plan to do, because everything in the world has a time. Everything is divided into three. There's a place, how it's going to look, and where it's going to be done. Everything has divided in three. So there's three in the beginning of the youth, three at the end. So any time you want to do something, you know, some of people who use the 12-step program explained to me a very, very interesting concept. When people are addicted, it never happens. They just walk out, they want to take a... They already start planning in the mind how to get the whole another bottle, another addiction. It starts. The trick by them is to nip it at the bud. You don't just all of a sudden go out and do it. It's such a planning in your mind. And you know, I had someone who once came to me and he wanted to do tshuva. He really robbed a lot of people, his parents, and he was a young kid, and he figured out how to hack into his uncle, who's very, very wealthy, and he stole $60,000. Uncle had no idea. I was asking, you know, he was going to have to pay. That's a whole story. I was just curious, how do you 16-year-old do that? He says, you think this comes overnight? This was on my mind 24/7. I figured out that my uncle's not going to be home, my aunt, and I found an excuse to go to the house, and I asked my cousin, I just need the computer for something. And I could, you know, figure out what the password was. I don't know how he did it, you know. You have to be 16 to do it. But he was in his addiction. This, when you do something, most often it doesn't happen. You've got to plan it. And unfortunately, I always tell this to people. No one sits and fantasizes, I can't wait shuas to come learn all night. It doesn't come into your mind, you know, I'm fantasizing, I'm going to learn geschmack. Fantasy comes in after mind, there's sex, fantasies about eating, fantasies out of fun. I once asked the people before Purim, I imagine none of you fantasize, you're going to read the Megillah with the great Kavanah. You're fantasizing about Purim, you know, what the Meshigasin you'll do, what the Yitzharas you mean. Unfortunately, the Ra has its, doesn't need to be encouraged. You don't have to encourage yourself to say, I should fantasize. We have to fight our sexual fantasies. We got to fight that. Now, this is how the test. Goodness, no one fantasizes, I'll be very nice and good. Yeah, I'll be romantic because I want to catch her attention, whatever you are. But you're not going to, I want to be very good, and he's fantasizing how you could do mitzvahs. It doesn't happen. We have to plan it our own. If we would plan the way this alcoholic or addiction guy figures out how to steal, I mean, I heard stories, it's just boggling my mind how to figure out how to get money. A guy told me, the 16-year-old told me, I was addicted for a long time. You know how much money it cost? I remember what he was addicted to. This cost a lot of money. From one uncle, he just skimmed $60,000. So this was 1 year only. In 1 year, from one uncle, it was only $60,000. But if you really addicted, you'll figure out. What we have to do is push ourselves in Kedusha that way. You want to overcome and think something. You have to focus on it and want. But the trick is to rouse your want. And that's you. So he explains the reason why we we wait for we count for the Sfira. It's a thing like a chosson is waiting for the kala, because that's exactly what the Zohar says, that Shavuos, the Ribbono Shel Olam waits and longs for us to come close to Him. See, but we don't realize, which is very difficult to realize, how much Hashem longs and wants us to be connected to us. Not just we here. Hashem is waiting, when are you coming home to me? It's not just, you know, okay, Hashem is sitting back, and let's see what you're going to do. You know, that's what many people think about Hashem. He's this strict God, and He gives me a bunch of X's, and I'm going to fail when I am. He's sitting there, and the Shekhinah is longing, when are we going to wake up and have a relationship with Him? And we have to do our shtadlus. Our shtadlus is to long and desire to do something. If you really long and desire to do something, it will happen. That's a rule of life. The only reason it doesn't happen, because it's nice, you know, we have a lot of nice things you would like to do. It doesn't mean that, you know, we're going to do it. So this is how he explains. So now he says a very, very, very interesting thing. The Ribbono Shel Olam, as I began to explain, after Chet Odom Arishon, the world was created that it needs a tikkun. Isn't that amazing? To eat bread, we can't just, we humans, I always say this, it's one of the amazing things. We humans, if we want to eat bread, you know how much wisdom goes to have a loaf of bread? You have to plant. You know, the cow doesn't have to plant. And the sheep doesn't have to plant. He has his food right there. We want to have a loaf of bread. We have to plant it. And then we finally make a bread. You know how many melochas go? We have to cut it. We have to crush it. We have to sift it. The Mishnah counts on the Sefer Shabbos, 11 melochas to get a loaf of bread. I always tell myself, Chava must have been a super genius to figure out how to make bread. I mean, I don't know how she figured it out. How the hell she did it. But it's amazing how much wisdom goes. And then, you know, whole wheat bread. We are busy. Not whole wheat. Yes, whole wheat. We have, it was a geo bread. We have, live in America, we could have El Michigasum. But, you know, ten grade, whatever you want. But everything that we do has to have a tikkun. Imagine, we need a slice of meat. Till we have a slice of meat, first of all, we have to shecht. We have to salt. Then we have to cook the meat. We have to take the blood out of the meat, and we have to cook it. And now, wait a minute, it has to be cooked a certain way. And with spices. And then we need a plate. Not a simple plate. If you're married, you know your wife needs a special china plate. And the silverware, the flatware, yeah, it's got to be a certain design. Otherwise, it doesn't eat so well. It's got to be a certain design, and it has to be a tablecloth. You know, the lion, when he wants a piece of meat, doesn't have a tablecloth, and he doesn't have shechita. He just, no problem. Anyone knows how the dating scene looks? Till you find the shidduch, it's a kriyas yamsev. You know, the animal kingdom doesn't work that way. They don't have such problems finding shidduchim. Whatever we do in this world, we continuously have to make tikkunim. Nothing is complete. Everything in the world, there's still things to fix. It's amazing. You could create things, but there's always everything. The Ribbono Shel Olam made it this way, that after Chet Odom Arishon, nothing goes easy. Nothing. We're living in a. I always tell myself, we don't even appreciate how lucky we are. We're living in such a wealthy country. We're living in a such a wealthy, and no one, King Solomon couldn't imagine that I could FaceTime with my daughter in Israel. I mean, I see my grandchildren. Clear. I was just amazed how clear it is sometimes. Right? I mean, King Solomon, you know, when it was very hot, he had a bunch of people, you know these Chinese fans here. He didn't have a fan. We sit in the fan with air conditioning. Is it too cold? Is it too hot? You know, maybe we're arguing on that. We have to argue on something. I mean, something we have to argue about. We don't even realize, we don't even realize how lucky we are. But still, you got to work, and you have a headache. Things have to be taken. It doesn't go by itself. You don't wake up all of a sudden, you're fresh. You got to bathe. You got to do a lot of things. The world continues. we came down to this world, to masakin the world. What is the tikkun of the world? Is the Torah. When we learn Torah, that is the tikkun of the world. When Hashem gave us the Torah, the Pasuk says that the world was shaking, was not solid ground, till Hashem gave us the Torah. When He gave us the Torah, that's when we got this up. That's why it's so important, Rakit Alochis keeps on saying, when many people, one day they learn, and the next day they don't learn, they feel like, you know, my learning. Every day that you push yourself to do a mitzvah, we have no idea what a tikkun this is for the world. Because we're here to fight the Yetzer Hara. I think I said it last week. I was told, I'm not into sports. I grew up in America. I was born and not into sports. But someone explained to me that if you hit a ball three times, baseball, if you hit a ball three times out of ten, you're great. You get $12 million. Am I saying correctly? I'm not sure. It's a great hitter. But seven times he strikes out. Seven times he strikes out, but it hits the ball three times, he's a great player. So when it comes to Kedusha, the Yetzer Hara says to you, know, you struck out seven times, close your business. That's the Yetzer Hara talking. In business, in real business, he never tells you that. The business is not going good, you'll figure out another way. How can I make it different? You have to remember in Kedusha, it's never, never feel that, you know, I learned a week and then after I did it and I messed up. Every day that you say a bracha, every day that you say a tefillah, everything has, it's a light. We just don't see it. That's the test. If we would see it, it wouldn't be such a test. We would see our bank account growing every time we do a mitzvah, we see how we light up the world, it wouldn't be a test. But the reason it's such a test, because we don't see. We have to have the emunah, the faith. And the more faith you have, the more you could stand the, you know, the challenges of your own challenge. Our biggest challenge in life is our own self. No one, you know, the Chovas Levavos says, the Rishonim says, your greatest enemy is yourself. You could hurt yourself a lot worse than anyone else could ever hurt you. We love to blame others. That's the human nature. Adam Arishna says, it's my wife's fault. And Chava says, it's the snake's fault. That's already, from the beginning, we don't want to take responsibility. But the truth is, our biggest challenge is no one but yourself. If you have angry problem, if you have a hard time, you know, expressing it, it's just self. This is our biggest challenge, is yourself. So this is what the Torah has given to us. And the more Torah you learn, the more you get connected to Hashem, the more God is a reality. See, Hashem, there's no way in the world we can explain what Hashem is. All we can know is what He created. It's not like, I know you, and how you look, and how you talk, and how you laugh. I'm sure you have children, or you have your wife, your spouse, and you know exactly what, you know, if you have many children, I know each child, what they like, what they don't like, what agitates them, what doesn't agitate them. Hashem, we don't have a picture of what Hashem is. We only know what He's not. But the more Torah you learn, the more you realize it is awesome. You know, sometimes I think to myself, it's mind-boggling how the universe big is. Now, there's a picture from a satellite that's traveling to Jupiter now, that it takes a picture of Earth. You know, we are a tiny dot, nothing, from there. And you know what's going on in this world? Everyone in his own world. You, every one of you, every one of us is a whole world. I mean, the universe is the greatness of Hashem is unbelievable. But in order to feel that, that's what the Torah, Hashem has to give us the Torah. Because we are, you know, to have a, again, one of the most important thing is to have a relationship. And Rav Nachman says, and this is what Rav Nosson says, and this is what the Tanya said, the only way you can have a relationship is you make time. Now, when people come to me, the marriage is not working good, my first question is, how much time you spend with each other? You know, the less time you spend, the less you're connected to each other. We need to spend time with Hashem. So Rav Nachman said, one of the most powerful things you could do for yourself is sit down alone in a room and just talk to Hashem. Imagine Hashem says, you know when I'm going to love you? When you nudge Lahafti When am I? David the Melech says, you know when am I in love? Ki yishma Hashem eskoy li tachninoi. When Hashem hears my voice of kvetching. You know, you don't want your wife to kvetch, or your children to kvetch. It's annoying. You know, it's part of raising a family. You know, they're going to kvetch. There's the two-year-old kvetch, and there's, you know, there's all different types of kvetches. Imagine Hashem says, I want you to kvetch. I always say the story of a lady once told many years ago. She tells me on the phone, I wish my son would have a headache, isn't that so? I said, what? He says, he calls me when he has a headache. That's when he finally calls me. And I said to myself, maybe the Bani Shalom says those headaches because we're the only time we call him. All of a sudden, he gets nervous. Let me say a kapitel, tell him. Let me start talking to him. But the truth is that, you know, we have to, Hashem is waiting for us to talk to him. Because the more you talk to Hashem, the more you make God a reality. It's like, you know, otherwise, it's like the husband and wife I mentioned before. He does everything without emotions. Or, you know, he doesn't treat as another person in the room. We live, we do the mitzvahs, we are removed from Hashem. And the more you think about Hashem, the more you talk to Hashem, the more Hashem you do it, the more Hashem becomes a reality. And it's challenging. We are here in this world to fight the Yetzer Hara. You know, again, I'm not into sports, but I asked the people after the Super Bowl, and they came in the morning, I don't remember when it was, why wasn't it good? Because there was no fight. You know, the guys won like nothing. Yeah, that's a game. For that, I watched the game for a few hours. We like a good fight. That's a big thing. We are here, and we all have a great fight to do. See, we don't even realize it. You all are fighting the Yetzer Hara without realizing it. Every person knows he has to control his urges. But there are certain parts that we control ourselves, but certain things we don't. We don't push ourselves. We control our urges, but we have to push ourselves to become a better person. To be a better husband, to be a better wife, to be a better child, to be a better friend. See, goodness only comes by working at it. Like I always tell people, no one went to a therapist and said, I don't know how to be angry, I don't know how to criticize, I don't know how to pout, please teach me. I have my grandchildren there for Pesach, and I tell my wife, you see the two-year-old from Lakewood, the two-year-old from Eretz Yisrael, the two-year-old from Bar Park went to the same yeshiva. They know how to kvetch, they put up the tantrum, the two-year-old bird, the same. Mamish, like they went to the same lessons. Amazing? The truth is, we all put up tantrums. There's a two-year-old tantrum, there's an adult tantrum, but we get annoyed, and we have our ways. See, that doesn't need encouragement. Goodness, discipline needs to be worked out. And there's a part of every person is disciplined to a degree, but to push yourself. So anyways, the Torah was given to us to fix. So Nassim says over here, Pseich, you have to open the two yuds. And that's opening how you should keep on saying, I want to change. And I asked, in the rehab center, once I asked them, you know, what's the success rate? What does it depend on? And you know, they all told me, the therapist over there, it depends if the person really wants to change. If he's here because he doesn't want to go to prison, it never works. Yeah, but that doesn't work. If you want to change, we could help. We have to tell ourselves, I want to be a better person. And the more you tell it to yourself, you will change. So, I want to encourage you all, you know, not only encourage you to take time, I find that when you take time to talk to Hashem, it's the most, takes out all the stress of life. Every one of us carries stress. There's no such a thing. Living is stressful. Just to be yourself is stressful. Being married, having children, having a panasa, being, you know, it's amazing how much we humans could tolerate. We have to be frum, and we have to be married, and it's, all things are great, but it's, there's always things that, where does all the stress go? And how often we get disappointed, and we get hurt by the people we're closest with. So if a person takes time and sits down and talks to Hashem, all your frustrations, it makes you so calm, it's amazing. It is the most calm. You should treat any type of meditation calms a person. Even yoga. People told me to make yoga, that they feel a lot. But this is much more powerful. You get connected to Hashem and just stretch to Him. And tell Him, you're frustrated with life. This is not working. This should work better. First, get used to your lot of stretch to Him. Then it would be great if you tell the Rebbeinu Shloim, what am I doing with my life? How can I change my life to a better person? And one of the most important things Rav Nachman always taught, always be happy. Now that doesn't go by itself. I want to say no one was born happy, and any person is happy because he wants to be happy. 99% of the people are always unhappy. I always say the story when I was very young and I was took the children to Disneyland, and there's a huge sign, the happiest place on earth. I didn't go in, I sent them in with my wife, and I said, wasn't feeling well. I was sitting outside and I was watching the lines. No one smiled. No one smiled. Everyone was nervous for the lunch and coming and going. But no, what happened? It's the happiest place on earth. An echtigatug is the happiest place. You know where the happiest place on earth is? When you decide to be happy. When you decide to be happy, that's the happiest place on earth. And when you're happy, you know, it's infectious. Your relationship with people are much better, and your relationship with Hashem is much better. And your whole life will change. So I want to wish you all a great Yom Tov, and be with kind, happiness, and try to take upon yourself to meditate and talk to Hashem. Okay.